Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We have Paul on the line.
Hello.
Hey, Paul. So I'm excited to welcome the program, Paul DeGelder, and he's about to talk to us about Shark Week, which premieres on the 26th of June. Paul, but first of all, I have to hear the story again. I'm sure you've been asked this question so many times about how you were a shark attack survivor.
Yeah, once or twice. But look, I was a Navy clearance diver in Australia. It's a bit like U.S. Navy SEALs. And we were conducting a counterterrorism exercise right near the Harbour Bridge, near the Opera House, a place where we'd dived and swum 1,000 times before. But it was early February, so just the end of our summer, 7 o'clock in the morning, and I was pretending to be an attack swimmer, swimming on the surface on my back with a pair of fins on. And a bull shark came up from underneath me and grabbed me by the hand, my right hand, and the back of my right leg all in the same bite, and decided it was just going to have breakfast on me. So tough day when you turn up to work and you're eaten by 7 o'clock.
And yeah, and so, and going through that, the adversity of the recovery is the hardest part, right, Paul? Recovering to who you are today.
Yeah, it's the mental stuff that makes it hardest. It's all the doubts and the voices that creep into your head saying that you can't do it, or the pain's too much, or just stay in bed, or, you know, that's really hard to deal with. But at the same time, they can be a great motivator as well. You know, if you choose not to listen to it, you choose to fight against them. So that's what I chose to do, and it works. I promise you it works. I got back to trying to surf on one leg after 3 months. I was back at full-time work after 6 months, and my life just kept getting better and better and better.
That's great. And then that's what adversity makes you stronger, especially if you persevere through it, for sure. So let's talk about Shark Week. I can't believe, again, my daughter absolutely loves Shark Week. Again, June 26th, it starts at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. What's going on in Shark Week this week on Discovery?
Oh, it's the best week of the year. I'm not surprised she loves it. But there's so many shows, lots of cool science, lots of action, all the stuff that people love. I'm in a show called Sharks Among Us with this really great guy called Dr. Craig O'Connell, and he's testing out this new barrier that he's created to try and, you know, keep humans and sharks safe from each other. So we headed out to the Bahamas to give it a test run with great hammerhead sharks and bull sharks. And I tell you what, it was really, really surprising, the outcome. So I'm looking forward for the show to go on air this week.
So filming that, do you ever have the nervousness of being around sharks because of what happened to you?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure.
These things are unpredictable. But at the same time, it's an incredible experience. It's something that you cannot replicate any other way except for being in the water with sharks. And while it is a little nerve-wracking sometimes, depending on the shark, it's actually much different to what you would think as well. There is really very little fear.
And that's the thing when you're with other professionals as well, right, Paul? That helps in the process.
Yeah, exactly.
Not be as nervous as well.
Yeah, I would definitely not recommend doing it yourself.
And working with Dr. Craig O'Connell, was that very interesting as well, being part of that? You learned, I'm sure, a lot from that experience.
Of course. Yeah, that's the best thing about being included as a part of Shark Week, is spending time around these people that are so educated and well-informed and have spent so much time in the water with the sharks learning about them that you absorb so much knowledge from them, and that gives you a greater appreciation for the shark as well. And, you know, not just the shark either. You learn about the ecosystem that they exist in, the part and role that they play in it, and how important that is not only to the ocean and the ocean's life, but also to humans as well. So it's not just about the shark. It's about the whole planet and ocean and human beings. So that's what makes it so fulfilling.
It definitely does seem like it makes it fulfilling. And are you concerned about, like, last year, especially the amount of shark attacks in the United States and what do we expect this summer, especially when it gets a little even a little warmer in the U.S. with sharks and stuff? I don't know, because, again, you're thinking internationally. What about in the U.S.? What have you heard about possibilities of more shark attacks like last year in the last couple of years on the beach in the U.S.?
Sharks are probably one of the hardest PR clients to deal with. They don't do you any favors when you're trying to stick up for them, that's for sure. But at the same time, you know what, they're doing what they do in nature. And there is a greater population of people spending more time at the beach and in the water, and that is a wild place, and you have to understand that. There are things that you can do. You can stay abreast of situations where sharks have been spotted in the area. And if they have been, then maybe just stay out of the water. You know, your surf life saving will obviously be in the know about where they've been spotted. If you're out surfing, use a personal protection device. You know, these shark shield devices are out there you can get. So take some personal responsibility. A lot of the shark attacks that happen are through situations where people haven't taken the responsibility, they haven't been well informed. So that could be a great determining factor of how many shark sightings and encounters we have this year.
Yeah, and we never know, especially with the weather, how crazy it is all over the globe, for sure. And one thing I was checking out when you were doing some of the other interviews, you really are promoting also to keep the ocean as a part of thinking about the ocean this week as well during Shark Week, that we really need to watch what's ending up getting in the ocean, right? That's another part of your passion, isn't it, Paul?
Exactly right. You've got to look at what we're consuming and how much plastic. There's a lot of media going on at the moment about how much plastic is in the ocean.
Yes.
And all the sea life that is in there consuming this, and it's shortening their lifespan, it's killing them. We're consuming them at the same time, so we're absorbing all these plastics, and it's choking the ocean to death. So we really need to look at how much plastic we're using, how much rubbish people. I still see people throwing cigarette butts on the street and throwing trash on the street. They don't seem to realize that that washes into the ocean.
Definitely. And the other part you talked about, the shark attack, that is the blessing in disguise, is the fact that now you can go out and talk motivationally to people, right, Paul? Be able to go to schools and really motivate kids. And are you traveling all over the world talking to kids at schools?
Yeah, well, it's not just kids at schools. Most of my work is actually for companies and businesses. And I'll do – one day I might be doing a multi-billion-dollar business conference speaking for an hour and a half about overcoming obstacles and leadership and motivation and all that stuff. And then the next day I'll be talking to a bunch of primary school kids. So it's extremely diverse. And now I've just moved out to America, so I'll be doing the same thing out here.
Oh, where are you moving to in the United States, Paul?
Well, I'm based out of L.A. at the moment, so we'll just see what happens.
You see what happens. Probably movies.
See what happens. I'm working for Discovery and Shark Week, so I've got lots of time out here to try and explore options. I'm having a great time. Everyone's so amazingly friendly, and everyone obviously loves Shark Week, so I'm making lots of friends.
Exactly. Okay, everyone, you've got to tune in June 26th, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, starting the whole Shark Week. Go to the website. I already did. Discovery.com. Check out all the awesome shows from Shark Week, especially Monday, June 27th, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. You can find Paul talk about Sharks Among Us with Dr. Craig O'Connell. Best place we can follow you as well, Paul. Where can we go?
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, wherever you like.
All right, Paul, thanks for calling, man. And we'll be tuning in, especially that night, to your episode. Take care, Paul.
My pleasure, mate.
Take care. Okay, bye-bye. You're listening to the Total Celebrity Show. We'll be back in just a fantastic. So I'm excited to welcome to the program Michael J. White, celebrity and promoting Vigilante Diaries. Michael, thanks for calling, man. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
Fantastic. You know what, Michael? I was watching and doing some homework and doing some research on one television long interview you had in a studio in L.A., and what I gathered from it is that this movie is a lot of what your background was before doing a lot of other acting, really involving action and your martial arts background. Am I correct in the kind of thing that's coming up for this movie, Vigilante Diaries?
Well, yeah, it's actually, I don't do very much martial arts in it. It's actually like a fun kind of romp, actually. It's a fun action film starring Paul Sloan and a cast of characters, myself, Michael Madsen, Quentin Rampage Jackson, and Jason Mewes. It's really like kind of like a grab your popcorn and enjoy type movie.
Yeah, it's your action, meaning it's not your action background when you started in acting. That's the question I was trying to ask you, Michael. Meaning back to the kind of stuff, the action films that you've done in your career.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I kind of belong in this movie, you know, so as does everybody else. It's a fun thing, and it's got some cameos from people that you know, I think the fans will enjoy.
Exactly. So let's talk a little bit about the cast. You said it's a very interesting cast, to say the least, of backgrounds and action and different things. So what did you think of the cast in the movie and stuff?
Oh, it was fun. It was part of the reason I did it. And not only that, you know, my friends were involved in the movie-making process. Paul Sloan's a good friend of mine. He's a very talented writer who wrote the movie and starred in it. And I definitely wanted to support him. They shot this movie with everything they had. They shot in Armenia, in London, in United States, and they did so just with a lot of heart and not the budget that you might imagine.
Oh, and so it was not five-star hotels then.
No, it put everything on the screen.
Because it costs a lot of money to make an action film, right? And have certain scenes and certain things, especially if you're in different places. So they did a good job of budgeting, that sounds like what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. Some of these scenes, I mean, they're commensurate with Mission Impossible. You know, what they were able to do just with their raw talent was just mind-boggling.
And you've been in a lot of unbelievable action films, for sure. So you know exactly what you're talking about when it talks about filming and the amount of budget that's involved in specific scenes.
Yeah, you know, I come from that school of being in a position that you have to put all the stuff on the screen, you know. You know, that's like kind of the grunt work. But it's so satisfying because it competes with big-budgeted films on basically their catering budget.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But you like that. You like that, right? You like to kind of get back to grassroots types of stuff like this. I think that
why I got involved with filmmaking in China. And that's another place where the art is to put it on screen. And I learned a lot from working in China. You know, the crews work really hard and fast. And, you know, and then you just have to have things well thought out.
So tell us the storyline, the premise of the movie and stuff.
Well, basically, it's Vigilante, played by Paul Sloan, and he's basically like a Dexter on steroids. Basically, he's like a mercenary who's taking out bad guys all over the globe, and there's a lot of espionage type of stuff that mixes in. He goes against the Armenian mob and. Then there's CIA factors and all kinds of covert operations that wind up warring with each other, even the Mexican cartels. So it's a lot of fun, and it starts and doesn't stop.
Fantastic. And I wanted to talk about your character. Tell us your character. I'm sure you're probably possibly playing a villain. Am I right or wrong on this?
Well, nobody's squeaky clean in this movie, including the lead. It's one of those type of movies. It's like everybody's a good bad guy or a bad good guy, whatever you want to call it. So I'm a guy that seems to be pulling some strings. My clearance is above, you know, a lot of others, and you kind of find out, you know, that. Well, as you watch the movie, you see who's really pulling the strings. You know, from the top. But it's actually just a really fun type of thing, and it was a fun role for me to play as well.
And you like all, and as I said, you've kind of really evolved as an actor to go back to your roots. It's always fun. Action films are just probably always a fun thing for you because of the amount of training you have to do for them and stay in the best shape you can. It's the kind of thing like, okay, let's do this, right? It sounds like it to me.
Yeah. I mean, it's become what I'm known for. Though, I mean, my true roots were just drama and just mainly it was comedy and drama. I've actually done more comedy than anything else, but the action speaks so much louder. So that becomes what your brand is, and it's not a bad brand to have because it's global.
Well, I look at your resume and the amount of what you're currently doing with comedy, there's a good mix, for sure. You can play a lot of roles, which will keep you working for a long time to come, for sure. And again, the movie will be coming out June 24th on demand DVD and Blu-ray, July 5th, and on iTunes and select theaters on June 24th. And anything else you got to promote, Michael, right now? Anything else coming up where people could follow you and find information on you?
Well, sure. I mean, you can look at me up on Twitter under my name and Instagram, the official Michael Jai on Instagram, and just follow me and I'll let you know what's going on.
All right. Well, Michael, thanks for calling, man. Best of luck and with all your ventures, and I can't wait to check out the film, and I hope our listeners are able to check it out as well. So take care.
Doing so, I'm excited to welcome the program New York Times bestselling author, celebrity Jenny Mullen, author of Live Fast, Die Hot. Jenny, thanks for calling. How are you?
I love that you introduced me as a celebrity. That's so nice of you.
Hey, you know, Jenny, come on now. You Google you right now. You're on The View. What was it? A couple weeks ago. You're a celebrity. Anyone that's a New York Times bestselling author and is an actress that's known in certain things, you're a celebrity. So embrace it.
I would say ish.
But you're out there. But you're definitely out there, right? For sure, especially.
I'm trying, man. I'm really trying.
Just bring Jason along, right?
They haven't let me through the front door. I'm like scaling the outside of the building.
So what you do is to say, okay, so but you have that little piece of okay, you have that New York Times best-selling author title, and then you say, oh, by the way, maybe I can bring Jason along sometimes, right? That helps too, right?
Exactly. I'm like, you don't want me. How about Jason Biggs? He'll do anything for you.
No, but I was watching your interview on The View, and it was very, very interesting and cute and stuff like this. And I love this book for a fact that it talks about, you know, at time your life, you lived fast. As I lived fast, as I was a former professional wrestler. And did a lot of crazy things when I was in my young age years, and now at 43 with five kids, I know how it feels. Now it's a different wow, Jenny, and that's what you're trying to do in your collection of essays. Am I correct? Is kind of now really touch upon how things have changed.
Exactly, it's just that transition from being this like young freewheeling psycho to. To how motherhood sort of has upped the ante and you know, the stakes are real now. And how do I balance that? How do I maintain who I am while also sort of being the, you know, white knight to this little creature? I think we all aspire to be better than our parents. But for women, I think it's such a scary place to be because your whole life you're told, you know, be afraid of strangers, dark alleys, you know, make sure somebody's walking you home at night. And then all of a sudden you're given this thing and told, okay, oh, but by the way, guard this with your life.
Yes.
So how am I supposed to feel capable when I'm like more afraid of the monsters under my son's bed than he is?
And see, and that's sort of
grappling with that.
See, that's a great point, because in a lot of ways we're told, get away from here, do this, that, and the other. Now you're protecting this person, and you're like, oh my gosh, I have such fear. What my parents told me. What if I let them go? Can I let them go right across the street? Can I let them do these things?
Yeah.
What about if they play a sport? Are they going to get hurt? Or if especially when they're getting older, they're going to go to that first dance. It's just like, we knew how we were, Jenny. You were like, crazy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was just out of control. And it is so scary. It is so scary to suddenly wake up one day and just be like, oh, by the way, you're a mom. Just like, I don't know how to deal with it. And for me, I just started projecting those fears onto all sorts of external things. And that's why I ended up, you know, in the Atlas Mountains, confronting a group of women weavers who, you know, I had been introduced to on Etsy. You know, I went to Peru when I was doing ayahuasca with Chelsea Handler. I moved across the country because I decided that my house in LA was haunted. You know, I mean, I didn't deal with it maybe as gracefully as some women do. And I wanted to sort of address that in this book and talk about how that fear is actually normal.
You know, and you talk about the fear. It's actually normal. But you think about it. You're in two boats now. First, you lived life, and so what? Who cares? Married Jason Biggs, had a child. Now you know the paparazzi's there. It's a different animal when you're in a Hollywood marriage, right? That's the other portion of this, right? Would you agree?
On some level, yeah. You know, I mean, when I circumcised him, you know, I'm Jewish, that is how I was raised. I didn't think about it. I'm also a woman, so I thought I was kind of doing him a favor, like in the long run, being a woman. But, you know, I got a lot of, I had to take the post down because, you know, we had a small little bris at my house and people went insane. And after a while, I started questioning myself. I'm like, oh my God, did I mutilate my child? Is this wrong? Is it, you know, because you don't, it's just things you do based on maybe culture or whatever. And when you're in the public eye, everything gets scrutinized on such a crazy level. So yeah, it's a little intimidating.
I'm for sure it's a little intimidating. So give us one of the essay stories that you wrote about. I know you said you talked about the circumcision, but what else? What other things did you talk about in your book? Give us one little taste of it. One of the essays.
Oh, I actually don't talk about the circumcision in the book. I really tried to not write a book about having a baby because I don't know. I wouldn't want to read a book about having a baby. I wrote a book about becoming a mom and the fear that just like ensues when that happens. And, you know, in the book, I talked about trying to meet mom friends and I got to New York City. I couldn't find any women that weren't just, you know, it wasn't my theme here. I went on Tinder to meet mom friends. It turned into like a, you know, kind of crazy comedy of errors where my husband was sort of coaching me to pick up chicks at the park. I mean, you know, I became convinced that the people living next door were giving my son cancer because they were smoking off their balcony. So I had to sort of cyber stalk them and then infiltrate their lives and compel them to stop smoking. Like I said earlier, I became convinced that after speaking to a psychic, she told me that the house was haunted by a ghost dog and his old man partner. And I was fine with the dog, but I'm like, listen, this old man cannot stay here. This old man is scaring the shit out of me. He needs to go. So, you know, we ended up moving to New York. I ended up going to Morocco because I got in a fight with a guy I met on Etsy. It was a really intense year for me. Very action packed.
Well, it's gonna.
And that's kind of what I tried to get at with the cover. I wanted the reader to pick it up and sort of feel that urgency.
Yes, definitely. And the urgency of, oh my gosh. Then that's such a great point. You said find other moms like minded that have children that you can relate to and have fun with.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's not right. Easy. It's not easy.
And like, we were like the same size shoe as me, that owned a printer that I could use. You know, there was a list of like prereqs.
Oh my, Jenny. Oh well, you know, you're working through it for sure, and you know the thing, and then also getting those date nights.
I'm really working through it, man.
Yeah. And especially getting those date nights with Jason, like I try to have my wife every week. That's another one of the interesting things. Who are you going to trust to watch the child? That's the other part of it. You know, and imagine I found a trusting babysitter for five kids. Could you imagine that? But it works. It's been working out. I book her every Saturday.
Imagine that. Wow, that's insane. Well, I stole my nanny from her life in LA and moved her with me to New York. So she lives with me and she's sort of raising me as much as she's raising my child. She's been like, you know, my rock through this all. She's sort of the Ethel to my Lucy, if you will.
Well, Jenny, where's the best place we can purchase the book? I know we can purchase it at any available bookstores out there for sure. And then also to follow you.
Yeah. I think it's like $11 on Amazon right now. They're giving it. They have a special deal going. It's at Barnes and Noble everywhere. I think it's at Target. It's at you can go to IndieBound. You can go to my website, and then I'll see what else you purchase when you get the book. Really, kind of a fun little perk. But no, it's all over the place, and yeah, I don't want my dad to buy all the copies. So please buy a copy.
And we can follow you on Twitter at what, Jenny? What's your Twitter handle?
I'm Jenny Ann Peets, AnnPeets on Twitter, and Jenny Ann Peets 2 on Instagram, because my first Instagram got shut down because I posted a penis. It's a long story.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling.
But
and
I
you have a lot of other projects going on as well, Jenny. A radio show with your husband, all those things. So they got to go to the website and Netflix. So you have a lot of things going on. You are a celebrity. You're very humble to say you're not. But thanks for calling, Jenny, and best of luck to you, okay?
Thank you. You're so sweet. Take care.
Take care. Okay. Bye-bye. You're listening to Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Marty Rainey here. Fantastic. So excited to welcome to the program Marty Rainey from the new Discovery Channel series, Homestead Rescue. Marty, thanks for calling. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm looking outside in a clear blue sky. I think yesterday might have broken a heat record for Alaska. I don't remember ever being in as hot as I was yesterday, ever. I've been here 42 years.
Really?
And we're pushing 20 hours of daylight.
That's crazy, Marty. Are you serious? So that Alaska, a heat wave, what are you considering a heat wave, Marty?
Well, I have to be careful because I don't like saying things that I'm not absolutely certain about. But I think someone said it might have hit 80 yesterday. And for Alaska, at 20 hours of daylight, that's a lot of heat. I was working outside on a project framing a building, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. But I'm not complaining because it could also get 80 below here.
So tell us about how this story happened and how you did the series Homestead Rescued. How did that start about?
That's a good question. I had been involved with Adventure Projects as a guide on Mount McKinley or Denali. And
okay.
I did a breast cancer film and a Swiss film and, you know, different things over decades. And then I ended up on a adventure series at another network. I did 35 episodes. So I guess adventure and my family name, Marty Rainey and his family, you know, it got around in a small town of New York or London or L.A.,
okay.
And different people approached me with different things, and I didn't really feel comfortable. It was too scripted. It was going to be fake, and I don't want to do that. So when Discovery came along and said, listen, you want to do something that's another aspect of your life? It's adventure slash helping homesteaders, because you're a builder, off-grid builder. You've lived off-grid. You've lived in floating logging camps. You've lived on homesteads. How would you like to help people, and you can do it with your kids? Then we began a dialogue, and, you know, it came to fruition, and they kept their word, and this will be the least scripted TV that anyone's ever watched.
Yeah, I love hearing that word, least scripted. Tell us a little bit. Other shows, other stations that have pitched you, it would have been just scripted, a storyline, not real in so many ways, right, Marty?
Yeah. I have to be careful here because, you know, there's so many people in this business. But I will say over the air unhesitatingly that it's no strike against anybody in this business. That's just the way reality TV is made. You know, someone sits in an office and, you know, has an idea, especially on an Alaskan show.
Yes.
And then they write it in their office in L.A., then they come to Alaska and tell them what to say. You don't have to script an Alaskan. Alaska is better than fiction. And Discovery is very cool about that when it came to our show. They recognize that my wife and I and our four kids were very sensitive to being misrepresented, and we definitely, equally, didn't want to misrepresent Alaskans.
Oh, yes. And a story about Alaska, and I won't, if I had longer, I'd ask you a question about someone we know who's in Alaska, but I'm not going to ask that opinion. I'm sure it probably is brought up during the reality show, possibly. We'll find out when we see the series. So what are we going to expect? Your family's involved. Define homesteader really quick for me, what a homesteader is.
A successful homesteader is a person that went into the country. He's usually without power, and he's providing his own sustenance. He's living off the land, has his own garden, and probably harvesting animals. And he's taking care of his own predator control issues. Why? Because he's moved out far enough that cougars, mountain lions, bears, coyotes, birds, hawks, eagles, buzzards are, you know, that's their neighborhood, and now you've moved into it, and you have to learn to live with them. So that would be a successful homesteader. And by the way, there's plenty of us that have moved to the bush or lived in the bush and definitely couldn't make that kind of a checklist. So to say a person is doing it perfectly, those are the exceptions. Most of us have an area that needs improving or help with, or more time, you know, more time dedicated to it, to correct it, to support the homestead success. And that is the premise. Good question, by the way. That is the premise of the show.
I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't survive at all, Marty. You might as well say, if you put me out in the wilderness, my wife always said this, you're just not handy and you couldn't survive out there, I would be dead. I would need to call Marty in seconds and text you or something or scream, Marty, help me, because I just can't survive in the wilderness at all or anywhere. So I can just imagine Alaska and the challenges that involve that.
Well, first of all, we got to fix that attitude because I disagree. I've had people say many times to me, I can't make it to the summit. I can't make it to the top. I can't make it to the next camp. And then, you know, sit down and try to be logical and pragmatic, helpful, and empathetic with people. And quite frankly, this was something I didn't expect on the show, but it happened organically, and it happened to the point of tears. Go ahead.
No, I said, oh, my. Okay. Well, we're getting close to running out of time. So, Marty, best place, again, everyone tune in tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern, Discovery Channel, Homestead Rescue. Best place to find information on you, Marty. Where can we go?
MartyRainey.com is a good starting point.
All right. Well, I hope everyone checks it out. Thanks, Marty, for calling, and take care, and best of luck to everything. You're on Twitter and all the other social media, I'm sure, as well, right?
To be honest with you, I'm kind of a bush rat, crazy 19th century guy. I think my secretary has set all that stuff up, but to be honest, the only thing that I really have figured out, because it's so simple, is Facebook. But I have Twitter. I just don't know if I can. I just don't know if I can bring myself to Twitter. But I do Facebook for sure.
All right, Marty. Thanks for calling. Take care, man.
And thank you.
I think we do have our guest on the line. Let's make sure we have Mike on the line. Mike, are you on the line, man?
Yes, I am.
Exactly. So I'm excited to welcome to the program hip hop star Mike Studd. Mike, your story is just a unbelievable story, man. To go from, you know, a baseball player to the success. It just proves one thing, Mike, that it doesn't matter who you are. If people like what you have now, you can have be an overnight success. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It's just a new age in the music industry, really. This whole social media, you know, you can get famous in your grandma's basement. You know, it doesn't matter where you're from, who you know. You know, if you have a skill set that people, and you can get it onto the internet, you can be a sensation. Anyone can. You know what I mean? And really, you know, mine wasn't by overnight by any means, but I at least got my foot in the door overnight. You know, I was an athlete. I got injured during my college career. I got injured and, you know, it basically opened up a lot of free time for me. So I started to dabble with music, and I'm talking at a very amateur level, like GarageBand. Basically, everyone has it on their MacBook. You know what I mean? It was the most basic thing you could work on. And I ended up just kind of striking gold with this first song that I put out. It was called College Humor, and it was, you know, I called it College Humor because it was a bunch of jokes. You know what I mean? It was like a bunch of pun, like just pun-filled, you know, hip-hop lines with sports references and those types of things. And it just caught fire for whatever reason. You know, it sounds amateur. You know what I mean? And in a lot of aspects, it's very amateur. It just kind of caught wind. You know, it took on a life of its own a little bit in the college world. And you know, I never really looked back. I kind of just jumped right into the fire, and we learned as we went, you know what I mean? But that was about 5 years ago from now, and it's been a wild run. You know, we're still climbing, and I think that's what's interesting about this show. You know, I'm the furthest thing from a mainstream, you know, artist or, you know, mainstream celebrity. You know, I have all my, you know, my following and support and fan base is lives online. So, you know, this is an interesting opportunity to get in front of, you know, some mainstream audience and show what we've been doing and show what we've been working on. And it really is exciting.
Exactly, Mike. And you're a bright guy. You went to Duke. So there you go. I'm gonna say that if you play any sport at Duke, you definitely have to have a specific thing. So you saw you were a great baseball player. You knew what made it. Then the injury, then you had the opportunity, and now the story on Esquire Network from June 21st, Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. But I agree with you. There are two different worlds. There's the internet, and then there's the mainstream. And you have already seen that through social media, the YouTube sensation, then getting your music out and having this unbelievable ride. Now you want the mainstream to see who you are as well.
Right. You know, that's why this is it's just an interesting time to catch me right now, because, you know, really, there's a lot of, you know, we're just starting to culminate, you know, to the point where a lot of the industry is starting to pay attention, you know, so it's happening in front of, you know, in the whole season. It's kind of unfolding. You're starting to see, you know, what's going on, and there's some really reputable people coming and coming to the shows and checking us out. So it really is, you know, it's like a weirdly informative show. You know, I think a lot of people are looking at it and might just see the title and what it's about and might, you know, snicker at it and think assume it's something. And I don't blame them at all. I'm just urging people to check it out because it really does have layers. I think there's a lot of like really interesting elements. You know, you don't have to know who I am or even like my music or even care about the music industry, really. It's really, you know, there's just a lot of different elements. We have a great cast, and they're all my
You're
friends.
Very humble,
so
man.
It's a cool. I appreciate it. Yeah, no, this is
humble,
I can't
man.
Even put into words how I can't even put into words how much of a long shot, you know, this all is. So it's really not. It's like a genuine humbleness because it really. To be honest, like, you know, I never thought this, you know, the music lane would turn into this. You know, it really was something I just kind of fell into, and to see where it got us now, you know, it's wild.
But you got to say, Billboard Music, you got number one, you're in the number one list, you are iTunes at certain points, so your music's very popular, you're touring all over the place, but now you want people that are just, you know, not understanding the way this music business works to tell your story, who you are, And that's what this docuseries shows, right? It's not a reality show, but more of really the real life behind you, Mike, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, this TV process was internally a very big deal. We were skittish about doing it, and we shot a pilot 2 years ago, you know, and we're going to do it with a couple of different networks and Esquire. I'm just so happy that we chose them and went with them because they allowed us to make the show we wanted to make. We shot it. It's a docu-series. The aesthetic is very docu-esque. And really, you know, the best part about it, you know, right hand to God, we did a contingency deal that we wouldn't produce one scene on the whole ride. So we didn't, there was nothing produced. There's nothing, you know, there were never scenarios that we tried to falsify. You know, it's organic. And I feel like it actually kind of plays, like if you watch it and kind of dive into it, I think you could tell, like people can tell when something's real and organic. I think you get that feeling when you watch the show, or I hope so at least.
What advice would you give people? You said it was not an overnight success. Your first YouTube didn't hit, so you basically one song hit, but you tried to get yourself out there more and more even before that happened, right, Mike? You worked your butt off to get known.
Oh yeah, we've been on the hustles, you know, the whole time. Essentially, since after I put that music video out, you know, that first one, it really is. The internet is a what have you done for me lately platform to a T.
Yes.
You know, it's like, you know, the kids forget you. They'll forget you. You can't take 2-3 months off. You can't. You know, back in the old days, people would take a year and make an album. It's just not like that anymore. You know what I mean? Like, unless you're Rihanna or Adele or Bruno Mars or something like that, you have to stay relevant and stay in people's faces. You know what I mean? Like, you have to continue with the content. And for me, it was, like, super, super important, you know, to be able to keep up, you know, with producing content, but without a real budget. You know what I mean? So I acquired, like, a whole collective of my friends that's part of the story and part of the docuseries is,
My whole
staff of employees, we all live under one roof. We're all, you know, best friends as well. So we kind of just manage the business ourselves and make the decisions ourselves. And it's kind of a cool thing that I'm pretty, you know, I'm proud of, like, what we've kind of stuck to our guns, and it's working out. You know, I think that's why we have a show, because it's unique.
Well, congrats, Mike, for sure. Here's what we want you to do is basically tell us again. We're telling you Tuesday, June 21st, 10 p.m. Eastern, Esquire Network, the 8-episode series. We'll make sure you tweet this out for sure. You just check out our two Twitters. Mike can be ready. Total Twitter and Total Radio Net for network. And you're going to be – we're going to promote the heck out of you via social media when it goes out to syndication. Best place we can find information on you and follow you, where can we go?
Oh, I appreciate all of that. Thank you. My Twitter and Instagram is Mike_Stud. And what else? My website will be launching with the show. So in 6 days, at www.mikestud.com. So we are but you can – I'm very – hands-on with the social media, so give me a shout.
I'll give you a shout-out. You give me a shout-out. Thanks for calling, man, and best of luck.
I got you. All right, thanks so much.
Take care, man. Okay, see ya. Bye-bye. You're listening to Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Show. You can check me out on Twitter, @TotalTutor, Neil F. Haley Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google+, and also on Periscope, @TotalTutor, and Total Radio Net on Twitter. And I'm excited to welcome a program, my guest, VLME Franz Kuber. Thanks for calling.
Hello.
How are you? How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, for sure. And you have a wide variety background, for sure. A whole dossier. That's a perfect thing in 15 minutes that we won't be able to cover, but we'll try our very best to do that. So tell me a little bit about your background, and we'll get right into what's currently new with you.
Okay. So how everyone would probably know me is through modeling. I started out modeling when I was about 17 years old, modeled for a while. Then there was a small show, a little show. I don't know if you've heard of it. Maybe America's Next Top Model. Have you heard of that show?
Yes.
I know, I'm being sarcastic. So I ended up being selected to be on that show. Once I did the show and the show was over, I continued to model. After modeling for many, many years, I decided, okay, what do I want to do? Before modeling, I actually, I was a broadcast journalism major, so I went to Fairleigh Dickinson and got my first degree in that. Since I started modeling after going to school, I didn't really, you know, do anything in that field, so I was kind of at a crossroads where it's like, okay, what am I going to do? If I want to go into broadcast journalism, I would have to go into becoming a PA and working my way up, which is a lot more difficult when you're, you know, when you're a little older. So then I decided to go back to school to go into nursing. Now, my whole goal with going into nursing was working in the field of aesthetics and beauty and taking my expertise in the fashion and modeling world and the beauty world and merging that with the medical world and the medical knowledge that I've attained through going to school. So I got my BSN, and I worked for a few years. I met my husband, who's a prominent plastic surgeon here in New York City and also has a practice in New Jersey. And then through working with him, doing injectables with him, things of that nature, I decided I wanted to get my master's. So right now I'm actually in school getting my master's. I'm almost done. I'm in clinical rotation to be a nurse practitioner. Yeah, so I will be an advanced practice nurse. So basically I'll have prescriptive authority. I'll be exactly like a doctor without the MD title. So I can do anything a doctor does, prescribe, diagnose.
So you're busy in school.
Yeah.
You're staying busy with school, aren't you? A lot of stuff.
I'm extremely busy with school, and not only that. I mean, it's so funny how everything comes around 360 because I'm in school busy with that. But now, look at this. All this broadcasting stuff is coming back in my lap. So in addition to you know, taking, you know, the break and going to school, going to nursing, nurturing the beauty into it, now I make appearances as a beauty lifestyle expert. I've been on various TV shows. This is just my expertise. It's something that I love. I have a website, Don't Ever Say Never, that I'm extremely passionate about. And it's about bringing beauty and wellness and lifestyle tips to women that may not want to go on the internet and look for, you know, medical journals or look for information. Sometimes when you go on the internet, you know, you're not sure if the information that you're getting is accurate. So my website's amazing in that way. And I'm doing so much. And it's amazing how everything comes 360 because initially I went to school for broadcast journalism straight away, and I'm kind of coming back into it again. So it all is amazing how life works in that way.
So let's go. I'm trying to understand your story. Thank you for giving that quick background. That's great. You did it awesome.
Yeah, I tried.
We can tell you're definitely a TV. We can tell you're a TV personality because you just gave us everything in such a quick period of time. And I started out my day at 8:50 interviewing Michael Harney from Orange Is the New Black. So I've been all over the place all day.
Okay.
And so we're having this kind of day and. I'm throwing different people in. We're doing TV now right now as well, so your picture will be on the TV network part of my thing too. So just like the phoners for TV, but also goes out to syndication of radio. So, and
it's
all these different types of things. So let's go right to the first point. The first point I want to say, so going to school first for undergrad, that's before America's Top Model, right?
Yes. So when I got my when I got my BA in communications and broadcast journalism, that was before Top Model. My mom actually did not want me modeling until I had my education. So even though I modeled, I graduated high school at 17, just because my birthday was in December.
You do that. Hey, I'm listening. Are you there? You hear me?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, I can hear you.
That's
now.
Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah.
No, there was a pause because you said about, you graduated, and so once you so your mom wanted you to go graduate from school. But then getting involved in this show and modeling and getting around the show was different because you already had a degree, right, compared to a lot of the other people.
Correct. Yes, I already had a degree going into the show. Mm-hmm. I did. And like I said, my mom would not allow me to say, okay, you know what, Mommy, I want to be a model. So my mom was like, no, that's not happening. You're going to go to college. And then if you want to model, you know, during your break, you can do that. Or, you know, it was something that I kind of didn't have a choice, but I'm glad that I did. It was the best thing I've ever done was go to school three times now. Three times.
Well, if you're going as high level as you are now in the medical field,
yes.
I think you're glad you did go to school. And it's very weird how.
I am beyond.
But you're getting popular again, so look out. We'll see. You'll be working, and I'm sure you'll be walking into the doctors at one point in time, right? Being a guest on the doctors. I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Or a co-hosting. I think that's going to happen, especially when you get all that more medical background. So going into this reality show, this modeling show, tell us a little bit about the story of how that went and the experience of it.
Okay, so going into the show was a little different for me than some of the other girls because I already, at that particular point, was modeling in New York City. I had an agency, and I was already working in that sense. Now, you have to remember, we have to cut back. This is like maybe a little over 10 years ago, which is crazy to even think about. But there was no Facebook. There was no Twitter or, you know, social media. So it was very, very different the way in which the industry, you know, was back then to what it is right now. So I remember, like, I was watching season one of my show, and I said, oh, this is kind of a cool concept. I think the only other, like, competition-style reality show at that time was American Idol. So I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. It's like a competition show. But, you know, for modeling, I said, okay, I model. Maybe I can do this. And it was just funny. At that time, they were just like, send in a tape, talk about yourself, and, you know, we'll call you if we're interested. And I sent in a tape. I think I made it really quickly. And they called me for semifinal round. Semifinal round. I went to the semifinal round.
Okay.
But I didn't hear anything for like 3, 4, 5 months.
Oh,
and I was like, oh, whatever, I didn't get it. No, I was like, whatever. But, I mean, I was modeling anyway. So, for me, it wasn't a big deal. And then I was on a family vacation in Mexico, and I actually received a phone call because, our cell phone doesn't work in Mexico. So I received a phone call at the hotel from my aunt because I put her down as my emergency contact. And she's like, the production company for Top Model has been trying to reach you. They need you to fly to L.A. for the finals. And I'm like, what? I'm on vacation. So long story short, they actually flew me to L.A. for the final round. And then after the final round, I was one of the people that get on the show. And, you know, it's kind of one of those, like, being struck by lightning moments because it's like a once-in-a-lifetime chance of getting on a show like that. And, like, thousands upon thousands, hundreds and thousands of people are, you know, applying for a show. You know, so just to get on that was really cool. So, yeah.
Okay, so the experience, how close were you to winning?
So I was eliminated fifth. I think there were like 8 or 9 of us or something like that. So it was I made it pretty far. It was, like I said, it was a great experience at the time. I think it worked for me to be eliminated that early because after the show, I was able to still kind of maneuver my way in the modeling industry. And some people knew who I was and others didn't. And that kind of helped me with working. I know some girls, if you're really recognizable from, you know, from a show, some clients may not want to work with you. So I was very, very fortunate that, you know, I kind of just made it. I made it enough to be known, but also to kind of, you know, go under the radar when it came to client bookings. So it worked out for me. Yeah, absolutely.
So then you get back into the modeling gig, and then you decide to go back to school. You meet your husband in that between all these different things. Now let's place this latest project. You said you're going back to school, but now your latest projects to promote. Go ahead with that.
Right. So back to school. And in addition to being in clinical rotations and all the schoolwork that I'm doing, right now I'm kind of emerging as this beauty lifestyle expert. It kind of all worked out in a crazy way. It's just the way life has happened. And I've had these amazing opportunities to go on television shows and talk to women and talk to viewers about things for your skin, things for beauty, lifestyle tips, things that I'm passionate about. You know, and it's important in life to be passionate about what you do. And for me, I could do this all day. I'm a talker. I'm a natural, you know, personality type of person. So for me, this is something that I can, you know, bridge, take all of my talents and expertise into and ball it up and put it into one thing. And it's just been working out amazingly. So I'm really passionate with that. And in addition to that, I have don'teversaynever.com. That is my site. It is a site that, like I said, women can go to, that I speak about various things that can help them with health, with beauty, with wellness, everything all around, where it's a kind of like a one-stop shop. So I'm very passionate about that as well. And, you know, like I said, everything is coming together. It's just amazing how life is 360 back into the television and broadcasting world.
How are you going to do that? So this is the question I have to ask you. How are you going to do this, especially if you keep getting on different shows? You have, you know, your brand stuff, and then you have school and then getting a job. So how are you going to
do that? Okay, so here's the thing. Very, very simple. I already have it all mapped out. So as far as school is concerned, I'm done with clinicals in February. Right now my clinicals are 2 days a week. So, like, for instance, I was just in California last week. I did my clinical rotations Monday and Tuesday. I flew out to California on Thursday. I had an event to attend, and then I was on San Diego Living. So giving, you know, do-it-yourself skincare tips. And I'm all over the place. I was in Baltimore the other week on Fox 45 in the morning. Before that, I was in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. You know, so I'm constantly traveling, but it worked out for me because I don't have a conventional job in the sense where I have to go in and work every day. I'm just in clinicals two times a week. So that's what's been, you know, how I've been able to do it. When I'm done with clinicals and I sit for my board, you know, board certification, once I'm done with that, my husband, you know, as a plastic surgeon, I will probably come in a couple of times a week, see my patients, do my my fillers, my Juvederm, my Botox, my patients that I would see, some laser aesthetic work with them as well, and still continue to do what I do. And even, like, let's say this all branches out and I'm doing what you're doing, or I'm on a television show and it's a regular gig, I would still have, like, one day a week that I would see patients because that's still my love. I still like being hands-on.
You're well planned out. Okay, best place to learn more about you again is your website, and how can we follow you on Twitter and all those places? Where can we go?
Yes. So huge for me. Instagram actually is even bigger, but my Twitter is also, it's all connected. So my Instagram and Twitter handles are Don't Ever Say N as in Nancy, V as in Victor, R. So it's Don't Ever Say NVR. Those are my handles. My website, www.don'teversaynever.com. I'm very active on the site. You can subscribe to my newsletter. I send one every month. And my site is amazing and constantly updating. So, yes.
Well, thanks for calling. Enjoy the story.
Oh, my goodness, of course.
Update me when you have some new news, okay? Sound good?
I absolutely will. Sounds amazing. Sounds amazing.
Take care.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay.
You too.
Yeah,
no problem. All right, bye-bye.
Goodbye. You're watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a minute.